Psalm 39 verses 1 to 13. We will focus on verses 1 to 7. I'll read to you the whole psalm. Psalm 39. To the choir master, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I'll guard my mouth with a muscle, so long as the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail, and my distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. I am mute. I do not open my mouth, for it is you who have done it. Remove your stroke from me. I am spent by the hostility of your hand. When you discipline a man with rebukes for sin, you consume like a moth what is dear to him. Surely all mankind is a mere breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers. Look away from me, that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. In both Psalm 38 and Psalm 39, we find David attempting to remain silent in a time of trial. And David was afraid that he might say something that would offend other believers or give ammunition to unbelievers to throw their arrows at him. Psalm 38, verses 13 to 14. But I am like a deaf man, I do not hear, like a mute man who does not open his mouth. I have become like a man who does not hear and in whose mouth there are no rebukes. Again in Psalm 39 verses 1 to 3, I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muscle so long as the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail and my distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned, then I spoke with my tongue. In Psalm 39, David doesn't seem to be seriously sick, but he has been visited by some stroke from the Lord because of his sins. In Psalm 39 verses 9 and 10, we read, I am mute. Psalm 39 verses 9 and 10, I am mute, I do not open my mouth, for it is you who have done it. Remove your stroke from me. I am spent by the hostility of your hand. The psalm also speaks about this age-old problem regarding the prosperity of the wicked. Verse 6 in Psalm 39. Psalm 39 verse 6. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. The wicked people were blaspheming God. They were blaspheming God and maligning David in his affliction. In verse 1, I read to you verse 1 again. Psalm 39 verse 1. To the choir master, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muscle so long as the wicked are in my presence. Psalm 39 verse 8, I read from the King James Version. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. So the wicked people, they were troubling David, and they seemed to be prospering in spite of their wickedness. The name Jeduthun is mentioned in this psalm. And Jeduthun was one of the three main singers and musicians in the choir that David had instituted for worship. In fact, it was a 4,000 member choir. It was a huge choir. The other two were Heman and Asaph. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 verse 12. And all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman and Jeduthun, their sons and kinsmen, arrayed in fine linen, with cymbals, harps and lyres, stood east of the altar with 120 priests who were trumpeters. In Psalm 39, we find four progressive stages that describe David overcoming his difficult experience. Remember, he had sinned and he was going through the chastisement of God. And David comes out of this. He overcomes his difficult experience, and we see four progressive stages here. Number one, we find David is silent. And while he's silent, he had a burning heart, verses 1 to 3. Then we see David was despondent. And while he's despondent, he had a burdened heart, verses 4 to 6. Then we see David was confident. And in his confidence, we see that believing heart in verse 7. And then we see David was repentant. He had a broken heart, verses 8 to 13. Now we look into the first three stages today, and we will keep the last stage for our next study of the psalm. Verses 1 to 3 again, David was silent. And while he's silent, he had a burning heart. Verses 1 to 3, Psalm 39. I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle. I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle. So long as the wicked are in my presence, I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail, and my distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Seeing the prosperity of the wicked and hearing their blasphemous words angered David. That angered David so much that he wanted to retaliate, and he wanted to say something to defend God, but he considered it better to keep silent. But the silence only made his heart burn with intense pain. We find this in Psalm 32 also. Psalm 32 verse 3. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. We find the prophet Jeremiah tells us something very similar in Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 9. Jeremiah 20 verse 9. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. You find the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they had burning hearts. When the Lord Jesus expounded the word to them, in Luke chapter 24 verse 32 we read, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road? While he opened to us the scriptures. Now David didn't even say good things. He just kept quiet as long as he could. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 7 we read, there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. The wise person knows when to keep silent and when to speak. David did not argue with God. He kept silent because he knew that God was in the situation. Psalm 39 verse 9. I am mute. I do not open my mouth, for it is you who have done it. So David knew that God was in control. David also did not argue with those who reproached him, but he did pray. He prayed to the Lord. Then we find the second stage. David was despondent. He had a burdened heart. Verses 4 to 6. Psalm 39 verses 4 to 6. O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. Now, when we find ourselves burying our true feelings, when we find ourselves burying our feelings and our emotions, we are actually creating physical and emotional pain for ourselves. It is then high time to talk to the Lord, and we must seek His help. David knew that his life was short and the days would pass swiftly. He also knew that he was frail and one day he would die. He knew his life was short and one day he will die. His life was frail. He began to measure his days. In other words, he took stock of his life. And it is important for us to do the same. Moses teaches us to pray in Psalm 90 verse 12. Psalm 90 verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. It's a psalm of Moses. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. The Apostle Paul admonishes us in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 16 to 17. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The wise preacher, he tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. What he's saying is this. The things that make up employment in this life, that will not be present in the grave, in Sheol. Sheol means the realm of the dead. So, we must make the most of our opportunities now. Because one day, our works will be judged. What we do will be judged. And we would want to receive a reward for the glory of God. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. We are not saved by any good works that we do. We are saved by grace through faith in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved simply by trusting in the finished work of Jesus on the cross for us. But having been saved, we realize that we are saved to do good works. And these good works God has foreordained for us before the foundation of the world was laid. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our Lord Jesus tells us, we read in John chapter 9 verse 4, John chapter 9 verse 4, we must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Now the Jewish people, they looked upon work not as a curse, but they looked upon work as stewardship, stewardship from God. They looked upon work as a stewardship from God. Even their rabbis learned a trade. And the rabbis would remind the people. This is what they would say. He who does not teach a son to work teaches him to steal. The rabbis would tell the people of Israel, he who does not teach a son to work teaches him to steal. Paul was a tent maker. And Paul reminds us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 10 to 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 10 to 12. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. If we fear God and walk by faith, we will not try to escape or merely endure life. We will enjoy life. We will enjoy life. We will enjoy the work that God has given us. And we will receive it happily as a gift from God. We will enjoy the life that God has given us. David saw his life as a handbreadth, and his age he saw as nothing in God's sight. It would do us good at this time to read the 11 verses of Psalm 90. The first 11 verses of Psalm 90. And I'm going to read that to you. Psalm 90 verses 1 to 11. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it passed, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? We come back to Psalm 39. I read Psalm 39 verse 5. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Psalm 39 verse 11. When you discipline a man with rebukes for sin, you consume like a moth what is dear to him. Surely all mankind is a mere breath. And in the King James Version, instead of that word breath, you find the word vanity. Psalm 39 verse 5, I read from the King James Version now. Psalm 39 verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Psalm 39 verse 11, again the King James Version. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Now the Hebrew word translated here as vanity, it actually means a breath. It means emptiness. There is a beautiful description of vanity which I came across. This is how it goes. The word vanity is described as what's left after you break a soap bubble. What's left after you break a soap bubble? Psalm 62 verse 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Psalm 144 verse 4. Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Job 14 verse 2. He comes out like a flower and withers. He flees like a shadow and continues not. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 verse 12. For who knows what is good for man while he lives the few days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow. For who can tell man what will be after him under the sun? In verse 6 of Psalm 39, David compares life to an empty show. He compares life to an empty show with shadow people bustling around trying to get rich. Psalm 39 verse 6. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. The question is, busy for what? That's the question. Oh, I'm very busy. The question is, busy for what? Wealthy. Wealthy for what? Years later, Solomon raised the same question. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verses 18 to 19. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 18 and 19. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Yet he will be master of all for which I toil, and use my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. Our Lord Jesus emphasized the same truth in a parable, which we will find in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 verses 16 to 22. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. You see, when we get busy working with wrong motives in our hearts, it ultimately leads to vanity. Life is swift. Life is short. And for most people, life is actually futile. In modern vocabulary, people are living for the image and not for the reality. People are living for the image and not for the reality. Then we find David was confident, and we see his believing heart here in his confidence. Verse 7, Psalm 39 verse 7. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. This is the central verse in this psalm. This is the turning point in David's experience. David asks the question, if life is short and the days go by so swiftly, then what am I waiting for? If the world is nothing but a shadow image, let me give myself to the Lord, who is the foundation of all that is real and lasting. Today, as believers in Jesus Christ, we know what is going to happen to this world. Ultimately, this world will go through fire. This physical world will be burned with fire. So, what actually lasts? Only what is done for Christ lasts. That's why we hear those wonderful words. One of the great missionaries who said, there is only one life and it will soon be gone. And only what is done for Christ will last. So today, as believers in Christ, we know that the reality is of Christ. In Colossians chapter 2 verse 17, these are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. The NIV version puts it beautifully. Colossians chapter 2 verse 17, the NIV. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So you see, there is a complete shift in perspective which takes place when a person is born again. We realize that the foundation of our life is Christ, and we live for Him. God tells us in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We realize that the foundation of our life is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we live for Him. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing the seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. We depart from iniquity and we live for Jesus. We seek His kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we live out the kingdom life on earth. We work for Him. Our work takes a totally different perspective. We realize that our workplace is given to us by God to manifest Christ in everything that we say and do. When we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in this manner, what happens is, He is glorified, He is exalted, and He will draw people to Himself. So if you're employed, your workplace becomes a mission field. It's the same wherever God places you, whether you are a homemaker or a student. As a homemaker, you build your home on Christ, the foundation, and you bring up your children in the ways of the Lord. As a student, your life becomes a testimony in your school or college. People begin to see Jesus Christ in you, and you become a witness for Him wherever God has put you. The main concern is not how long we live, but how we live. Life is measured not by how rich we are in material wealth, but whether we have values that last, values that are eternal. Are we living with eternity's values in view? We don't live by the values of the world. The world caters to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2 verse 16. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. A Christian is dead to the world and alive unto God. Galatians chapter 6 verse 14. Galatians chapter 6 verse 14. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So the Christian knows that it is futile to serve the world and its lusts. He therefore turns to Christ, he loves the Lord, and he serves the Lord doing the will of God from his heart. 1 John chapter 2 verse 17. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So in turning by faith to the Lord, David moves. He moves from hopelessness to hope. And he moves from paralysis to action. You see, if you keep thinking of the things of this world, the world is very depressing. What is happening in the world around us is so depressing. And you will lose hope. And you won't be able to do anything good. You'll become paralyzed, so to speak. That's how David was. But when he turned by faith to the Lord, he moved from hopelessness to hope and from paralysis to action, doing God's will. In his silence, David learned two lessons. One, David learned about the brevity of life. Psalm 39 verse 6, surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. This means that man is merely walking in a performance. That's how the people of the world live. David knew that this kind of living is focused on the temporal and not on the eternal. David realizes that his life is just a handbreadth, and therefore it is to be lived with eternity in mind. So David knew God personally, and he therefore determines to live his life centered by faith in the Lord. The brevity of life should warn us to turn from sin and to live for our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 1 verse 20 and 21, Philippians chapter 1 verse 20 and 21, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Number two, David learned about the frailty of man. Psalm 39 verse 4, O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. David is telling us, it's not the length of life that counts. It's the depth of life that counts. It's not the length of life that counts. It's the depth of life. That is what counts. It's not important how strong we are in ourselves, but how strong we are in God. What counts is that we are investing our lives in eternal things. So let's look to the Lord and say, Lord, make my life count. Remember, life is short. So why devote precious time to sin and its destructive power? Invest your life in the eternal things of God. Draw your daily strength from Him. When you sin, confess it right away. Forsake it. Repent. Get back to investing your life for God's glory, and you will experience God's blessing and eternal reward. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?